I'm Sonia Morton Firth and you're watching The Sonia Morton Firth Show. Today my guest is Dame Marie Diamond. Marie is renowned for being one of the stars in the worldwide movie and book The Secret. She's also a global transformational teacher, feng shui master, speaker, and an international best-selling author. In this interview, Marie reveals the three elements guaranteed to manifest the life of your dreams. Marie, it is fantastic. It's a real honor to have you on my show today. I can't believe it. You know, we've been trying to get this interview in and I'm so excited to talk to you today. And you're in the south of France, Marie.
Yes, Sonia. It's wonderful to be with you and be all your listeners and viewers. And yes, I'm in this moment in the south of France and loving it here. The air is clear. I have a view on the Mediterranean. So what better place I can be, right?
It's beautiful. And Marie, you're no stranger to manifesting. And I'd like to just take you back to maybe the beginning of your journey and how you started your life as a feng shui master. And we'll come on and talk about the role that you had in The Secret. Okay. But perhaps, yes, can you start? Did you always manifest things into your life?
Well, you know, I'm born in Belgium in a beautiful city called Bruges. And I think the first thing I really manifested was I attracted a spiritual mentor at 7 already that taught me about meditation. Yeah, so I started meditating at 7. So that was the first thing somehow I attracted. And then he taught me how to start drawing. I mean, I was a child, so I can imagine he was not giving me affirmations or setting up a vision board or goals writing. So he asked me to draw anything I wanted to manifest, right? So I started doing that and I started seeing some things that manifest in my family. And I kept doing that, like really trying to be the as most positive thoughts, as the best positive behavior, living in gratitude. So I already knew a lot of things that, you know, the law of attraction, self-development is about before I was 15. And but when I was 15, I had a big accident. I was run over by a truck.
Oh, wow. And
okay. I actually was declared dead. So they really put the white fabric over my body. And thank God my mom arrived on the scene and she started really, you know, crying and saying, you have to keep reviving her. So they kept again reviving me. And but I was already outside of my body and I could see, you know, what was going on. But then I left to another dimension, I call it, right? And I was literally in the midst of like all beings of light. I cannot describe them differently. Some people would call it angels or masters or whatever it's called. They were just beings of light for me.
And could you see their faces or did they?
Yes, I could see. No, I could see that. I can describe them. They were for me like human beings in light, yeah. You know? And so they said to me, you have to go back because you're here to enlighten more than 500 million people.
Wow.
And you know, that's the only thing I remember. And then, you know, a few days later, I came back out of coma and with that message in my head, like resonating. And, you know, of course, at 15, I have no idea what that meant. Now, if I would be a 15-year-old right now, hey, I would go and start a TikTok account or, you know, or a YouTube channel, right? But at 15 at that time, that doesn't exist. You know, this is literally 40 years ago. And so, but I thought like, I can start making a difference in as much people as possible by being part of the community, being of service, you know, making a difference in by a smile. So I tried to, and I was thinking, I had even calculated literally if I would become 85 or 90, how much people, if I change one person a day, how much people I would have changed, right? So, but it didn't come to 500 million people, right? So I knew something else needed to change. And I thought like, how can I change people? Well, if I would become part of the United Nations, if I would become in politics. So I actually became a lawyer, an international lawyer, because I thought like, hey, I could do international diplomacy or, you know, And I started working for the Belgian and then later European government, you know, trying to change the laws. And but, you know, after 5 years doing that, I kind of got that literally this was not the way to go for me. The atmosphere in politics is not very positive, let's be honest. And so, but meanwhile, I had studied feng shui, I had studied, because when I was 15, I went back to my teacher and said, why is this happening to me? I mean, I've been doing all the positive thoughts, I've been really behaving positively, I've been meditating, and still I attracted this big accident. And he said, well, you had bad feng shui. And so I said, what's that? He said, well, it's your environment is not reflecting of your inner desire. And literally, I hated my bedroom. So I moved to another bedroom, you know, made beautiful paintings, made it like completely my energy, what I wanted to desire around me. And we'll go deeper into it later.
Yeah.
And that's when I started studying feng shui and the energy of a home. And so when I was 31, I already was very accomplished in a lot of ways because of practice. And so I started actually setting up my own company, started speaking, doing self-development courses, feng shui consultation. And interesting enough, the first clients that came to me were actually the politicians I had worked with. Because they start asking me, how are you always so optimistic? How do you do it always? Like, you manifest so fast. We give you a project, we think it takes 3 years, you've done it in 6 months. I mean, what is your power? So I start teaching them this information. And then I start speaking public. And but after like 5-6 years doing this in Belgium, I thought I would never going to reach 500 million people, because Belgium at that time is only 10 million people. So I started going to America and started from scratch in America. And then one day I was very clear, I had to be there in 3 weeks. So I called my husband and said, let's move to America in 3 weeks. Of course, nobody gets to move in America in 3 weeks, but I did, I manifested it. And so that's where something major happened that got me in the secret. So I made a vision board. And I put on my vision board a little text saying, I'm going to be in a movie seen by millions of people that will transform the world. It was a little yellow post-it note. I still remember putting it there. And I bought myself a fake Oscar with the name Marie Diamond on. And I like engraved it, right? And the first thing that happened was I attracted a client that later on was one of my co-stars in The Secret, Marcia Sharmoff. She became my student. She became my friend. She opened the doors. And before I knew it, I had clients as Jack Canfield, Bob Proctor, John Gray, Marianne Williamson. They asked me for advice. I was not studying with them. Yeah. So they saw somehow I was a master already in my field. And so I was helping them spiritually, energetically, coaching them. And I was like just a woman from Belgium coming into America, to be honest. And then another thing showed up is my Oscar started working. And I started attracting Oscar winning clients. And as I was connected with Jack Canfield, he invited me to the first meeting of the transformation on the Transformation Leadership Council, where I also met John DeMartini, was in the living room, right? And I was sitting way in the back because I was like, oh my God, all these big people, they have sold millions of books and I'm just starting here. But Jack felt he needed me to be there because I was his advisor. I was his mentor at that time. And so he said, no, you need to be there. And there were 4 or 5 other people in the room that I had been mentoring, but I was not publicly known. And that's, of course, in one of these meetings that The Secret was filmed. And I, you know, of course, I was in the movie, The Secret, and many other very well-known people did not make it to the movie because there were 70 interviews and only 24 made it. And later on, they asked me, Marie, why are you in this movie and why are we not? And I said, well, I had it on my vision board. Did you have it on your vision board to be in a movie seen by millions of people? Because I thought there was a movie for Australia, right? That was going to air in Australia. And I thought, like, well, it's millions of people in Australia. I'm fine by that, right? That was my first TV interview ever, right? I'd never been in front of a camera at that point. So now, of course, you know, through The Secret, we have reached 500 million people. So check, we got that.
That's so amazing. I mean, that's like brought tingles. I can feel it. I mean, just the fact that you manifested from a very young girl through that life near death experience. And you went on and you've created, really created your life. A lot of people say that, or you've been described as the secret behind The Secret. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, when Rhonda Byrne then had this movie made, and we saw the movie, it was amazing, Channel 9 in Australia said, we were not going to air it. It's too special, right? So she had already moved to LA. Things were not going anywhere. She was at the end of her financial possibilities to promote it. And so she called me in and I said, let me do my magic, right? So I came in, did a lot of clearing energetically from her subconscious mind. I did her feng shui. I said to her, okay, let's do this and this step. So she did all the things. I mentored her personally. But also I was mentoring the publishing company. I was mentoring the PR company, the heads of these companies. And so I put them all together and I had 50% of the people in The Secret that I mentored at that time. So people call me the secret behind The Secret because I was the common factor between all these people. And I brought the publisher in, I brought the PR person in. So it was like, you know, my energy behind it that made it, you know, more there for the world.
And absolutely, it's one of the most acclaimed books out there. It opened up, one of the books that opened up the whole personal growth space. It has had, though, I wouldn't say criticism is the right word, but a lot of people say, is it that easy just to say, well, if I think about something, I can bring it into my life? And you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are watching this that are thinking, they've tried to manifest, they try and they try and they try, and yet they're not bringing in, or actually they're attracting the opposite of what they want. Is there anything that you can say to that? I mean, is it really just as easy as saying, well, I'm thinking about this, so it will come in. I want a beautiful, amazing relationship, so it's just going to happen. Or I want £1 million to float through the door. Is it just gonna... I mean, I've actually written myself checks before and put it in my wallet, you know, in the early days when I first watched The Secret. I've done that. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that have done that.
Well, first of all, The Secret is a start, right? So, you know, she listened to the 24 teachers. Rhonda Byrne herself was at the beginning of her journey, right? So that's why she brought teachers in to speak about it. And she took a tip of everyone, right? So this is like a basic. This is not a complete way to do it. That's why the teachers kept sharing. But what I learned from the law of attraction and why for me things went so fast,
yes,
because my story is quite extraordinary. So people say, like, oh, this is your destiny, or you thought better about this. I mean, I never thought about being really in a movie that was going to, you know, be like The Secret. I would never have imagined I was going to be a feng shui master. I would never have imagined to be in 11 other movies, having 1 million people online studying with me. I didn't imagine that, right? But there are three aspects to the law of attraction, and most people only work with one aspect. And so the first aspect that most people work with is what we call the human aspect of the law of attraction. And this is how, what you think, your mindset, how you feel, right? Your behavior, your gratitude, and your actions, yeah, doing things. So thinking, feeling, doing. Right? Because in the word action, law of attraction says the word action, but it's active thinking, active feeling, and active doing, right? So if you just write something and you just wait for the money to come and you meanwhile have negative thoughts and negative feelings, oh, this will never happen.
Yes.
And you don't take action every day. I mean, I took action every day to reach my 500 million people. Every day I would do some contribution. I would smile to somebody. I would do a, you know, a tour for somebody. I would always do something every day to move forward, right?
How did you stop the net? Because presumably it's quite difficult to think positive all of the time. There must be
you don't have to. You don't have to, right? This is not reasonable, right? It's not even reasonable for me, you know? Let's say the more you work on it, the more you will master it. And I would say I'm now like 90, 95%, yeah, of my day is positive thoughts, feelings, and actions. But there can be 5% like, hey, it's a difficult day, right? We all have that, right? But it's because it's not the everything. It's not self-development. It's not the only way to attract. So there's another aspect, what you call the spiritual aspect. Yeah. And that is what some people would call your karma or your destiny, right? Like you come in, your soul, your spirit comes into this vessel, a vessel called Sanya, beautiful vessel, beautiful vessel Marie. So we have our own identity. We come in with gifts. We come in with talents, right? Your talents, you have amazing talents. I have amazing talents. But if we don't fulfill these talents, if we don't use these talents, if we don't follow that purpose that we have, right? Mm-hmm. So, and if we don't open up to listen to that spirit, that soul that guides us through meditation, through listening in silence to that, if we don't start praying and connecting with that inner source or that outer source that we call God, the universe, that is another part of the law of attraction that most people are working on, but not completely. I mean, it just, we try as hard as we can. Because there's a third part, and that third part I found out when I was 15, because the first two parts, thinking, feeling, doing, and the spiritual part, I was already practicing, right? Yeah. And still, I had all this bad luck happening, right? So I'm like, what's that? About 4,000 years ago in China, the feng shui masters, and these are, I would call them like shamans from the Chinese plains probably and the mountains, they started seeing how energy flows. And so they found out how energy flows in the body, like with acupuncture, Tai Chi, Qigong. So they could see the flow of frequencies, the flow of energy. But they also found there was a flow of energy in a house. The moment we build a house and we start living in it, that environment influences our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, and also how we connect in with spirit. So I found that out at 15, start studying really with, you know, the ancient masters. I went to Asia, start studying all this information. And then it dawned on me, and that's what my feng shui master told me, he said, your environment is responsible for 1/3 of your results of the law of attraction.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's 33%, right? So I remember having this conversation with Bob Proctor when I was working with him and setting up his office for feng shui. And he said, Marie, it feels like it's more. It feels like it's 50%. I said, well, you have to understand, in the quantum field, right, everything is energy, right? And everything radiates and has a wave of energy. And so we don't always stand still, but, you know, where we sleep, where we work, where we live, this creates subconsciously messages to our brain. And it's possible you have written your goals, you have put things in your wallet, you made your vision board, but it's possible that your environment, who is like a three-dimensional vision board, is telling a different story. That the images, the colors, the way you position yourself, the items that are around you are perhaps telling something different. Perhaps you want romance, but any image around you are from single women. So subconsciously, you're receiving the message, I'd rather stay single. Because you think, oh, I am so powerful, I can change the world. But you know, the layer around you is bigger than you. And the layer around you is your home, it's your office. So if you want money, but everything around you is clutter and chaos, I'm telling you, money is not coming because there's no space for good things to come. Yeah.
I completely resonate with this. And I think people now, especially in the era that, well, at the times we're living in now, we're all in lockdown, lockup. So There must be so many people that have literally been living in their homes, not being able to go out with Corona. And they're probably looking at those walls, maybe decluttering or revamping their homes. Yeah. Or in my case, it's got to the stage where during lockdown, I had some unfortunate things happen. And I've got to the stage where I'm like, you know what? It's my environment. I really need to move. And it's not about me moving outside. I live in Richmond. We've discussed this before, a beautiful area in England, and I absolutely love it. But there is something about my home that I do feel has brought some bad karma, I don't know what you want to call it, but I have a real sense that, and I've never done Feng Shui, and it wasn't till we spoke actually a few months ago when we met at the Inspiring Women's Awards. And it entered into my head, maybe this is, there's something in the environment.
Yeah. So anyhow, I think you're right on, right? It's like most people right now, as they are in lockdown,
yes,
they are, you know, not going out. So they're like, that environment is even impacting them more than ever, right? So a home should be a sacred space, a space of harmony and peace. But, you know, for most people, it's just the opposite. So I can come in a house, literally, and tell you what is going on in the house without you talking to me. Because I can read a house, right? But also based on your birthday, when your soul came into the world, you actually have certain energies that are stronger for you, certain compass directions that are stronger for you. Mm-hmm. So everybody has what we call a success direction. Mm-hmm. So you can actually go to my website, mariediamond.com,
yes,
and you can click on get your free energy report. You will get your birthday to fill in and your gender. And then you get a report with that tells you where is your success direction. Okay. And so a success direction can be like southwest, northwest, east, south, north, depending on your birthday. So I, right now, in my success direction are all my books, all my home city courses. I have my vision board there. That is where I had my Oscar. Yeah, so everything that is about your success and your goals, you need to anchor this in your space. Yeah. And you better do that in a space where you work, or in a space where you sleep or where you live. Sometimes where you live, there are other people, so it's not the best area. But definitely where you work, there needs to be an anchoring of your goals so that your three-dimensional vision board is telling the right energy. You can also go to the free Mary Diamond app that, again, you can put in your number and you can put in your birthday, and we can actually do that right now.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so intrigued with this. It sounds, yeah. So it's not like your star signs, it's your actual birthday.
It's your birthday. So I will need to be impolite and ask your birthday.
Well, it's the 7th of June, 1971.
7th of June,
71. Yeah,
okay.
Just
so I put that in there.
Yeah.
I click. And I said, reveal my energy number. Your energy number is a 4.
Oh,
and what is a 4? It means you're the manager. You're very good at managing people.
Yes.
So, but it also means when you have an idea, you're very good in creating a strategy for manifesting. So you have that, you know exactly what to do. You know the road. Yeah. And when people come to you with a thought, an idea, you're immediately like, oh, do this, 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 and this. You kind of see it for them.
Yeah, yes. Yeah? Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, but you have here a compass. Yeah.
Yes.
So your compass direction for success is here is north. Yeah. So what you would do then, you hold the compass and you get your free energy report too, because it gives you more information. So you like this,
yeah,
flat, and you stand in the center, let's say, of your workspace. And then in your case, for somebody else it can be another direction, but for yours, you will check what's in the north. Yeah. even the North area, that is where you need to set up your success energy. Yeah.
Right.
So if, for example, you have there a garbage can or a paper shredder, right, or you have clutter there, even if you have all the positive thoughts about success and money, your environment is telling a different story. You have to almost think the portal to success is not open. You have closed it. Yeah. For example, in my success direction, like I said, I put all my products there, right? I put my images of my high-end clients there, right? So anything I want to manifest, I always put in my success direction so that it's not just my mind that manifests, but my environment is manifesting with me and manifests with me 33% more. And that means this is how you can get things easier and faster happening.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. And I am going to look at that. Say you want to attract a relationship. How would that work? Because I think there's a lot of probably people that are watching this.
Correct.
Maybe women that are.
So you see, you also, you have a success direction that is about career and money, but you also have a relationship direction. So yours is East here. Yeah. So it means in the East area. So you hold again the compass.
Yeah.
And like in your bedroom, because if you want a romantic relationship, you go for the bedroom, right? So you look what is in the bedroom area, in your case, the East. And if you have there an image, like I imagine, remember this one man, and he had an image of a priest praying, right?
In his bedroom.
In his bedroom. I said, well, you've been a monk.
Said,
yeah. Since I've been here, I've been a monk. Who gave you that image? He said, my mom gave me that image. He said, doesn't your mom want you to have a relationship? Actually, she doesn't. So I'm like, get rid of this, right? Put an image of what you want as a couple, right? So he put an image of a man and a woman, and he showed it to me, and I said, is that what you want? He said, no, not really. I'm gay. So I'm like, well... put an image that relates with you, right? So with two beautiful men in love or two hearts. So whatever you feel that describes that relationship, right? So if you want better relationships in your family, you will not put the pictures of your family in your bedroom because you don't want your mother-in-law to watch what is going on in your bedroom, right? But you can put then, you look at your relationship direction in your living room.
Yeah.
And in your living room, you can put pictures of your family and your friends, right? But the bedroom is very personal for your personal relationship, or even an image of your children, but not too many of your children, because otherwise, as some people have experienced, when they put a lot of pictures in their of their children in their bedroom, the children always sleep with them, right? So they remove the pictures of the children out of the bedroom, the children start sleeping in their own bedroom.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is so powerful. This is one of the most powerful techniques. And I know there's a lot of feng shui out there, but I brought in my Diamond Feng Shui school the feng shui together with the law of attraction and the quantum field and meditations, so that it is actually part of the law of attraction. And that is what Rhonda Byrne practiced. That's what Bob Proctor practiced till today. Jack Canfield, you know, John Gray, you know, Marianne Williamson, all these big speakers, they are still practicing this because they know just with their thoughts, they were hitting a ceiling. They were telling me literally, Marie, I'm hitting a ceiling. My own work doesn't work anymore. And I said, it works to a certain level. And that's what people have seen, is that all the work they have done on themselves is amazing. But then, like, they go to amazing seminars and they get aha moments, right? But they come back in their home and their home is still connected with their old way of thinking, their old way of being. And so they kind of go back into that old setting and that aha moment disappears. Yeah. So, but if your environment is aligned with your thoughts, feelings, and actions, that is when the miracles in law of attraction happens.
That really is amazing. And I've got to say, that's the part that probably is least talked about, because we all, you know, and I'd love to know your thoughts on vision boards. You've mentioned vision boards. I've done a couple of vision boards, and I still have my original vision board, and I actually have it on my phone. And I look at it now and again, and it's been a few years, and I'm like, wow, actually, some of those things have actually come true, and they still stand true to today. How would you go about, if there is anyone watching this, doing a vision board? Because in certain situations, I've just been given a whole bunch of magazines, and I've just looked at pictures that I've been attracted to and cut them up and sort of put them on a bit of paper.
Well, you know, a vision board, I adore vision boards because I'm really a queen of vision boards. So, but there's a certain way to do it, right? And so the first of all is the place of your vision board. So once you have made your vision board, always place it in your success direction, because then it actually manifests 33% faster, right?
Yes.
So that's one thing. The second thing is,
what? I said, I'm writing this down, this is great.
Okay. So I have actually a special program, Magical 2020, that talks about the vision board for 2020. Because based on your birthday, there are every year different words, different keywords, different colors that are actually stronger for your vision board. But let's go general right now, right? So make sure you have your vision board. Once you have made it, put it, I'm sorry for the bells, it's like the...
Lovely. I can just imagine this beautiful French village and the bells are going.
So so make sure you have your vision board then, like on your phone, on your screensaver. See your vision board as much as possible. Take connection with it. Like, not make it once and just put it away. You need to be interactive with it. The second thing I always suggest to people, on a vision board, you have to work both analytic and creative. So analytic is writing down your goals, literally write them down, like I am. Always use the word I am, and write them as in the present time. So do like 5 goals for success, 5 for health, 5 for relationships, 5 for wisdom, knowledge, studying, right? And then in the center of your vision board, always put a picture of yourself. Yeah, not a picture from when you're a baby, right? Yeah. A current picture, right? So that you are the center of your vision board, because the vision board is like the universe, yeah? It's like a universal plan, but you have to tell the universe for who it is. Sometimes people make these vision boards, I'm like, for who is it? But for me, I said, I don't see that. The universe doesn't see it. You need to be the center of everything you're creating. So put goals up, write goals, but also then get pictures connected with the goals, because some people just put things like chaotically up, but there's no order. You have to understand law of attraction works with an order of energy. So write first your goals, then get your images, and make sure they are connecting with each other. Yeah. So where you write your goal, then take a picture close to that, connected with that. Now we go deeper, because we, based on your vision board, there are, based on your energy number and based on your birthday, we actually create different vision boards for each one. Yeah. So, but that's something, if you want to explore, you can go to the website and get Magical 2020. It's a video program that leads you through every step, how we make successful vision boards. The successful vision boards I have created over the years, and literally like this year, I put on my vision board, I want to open Africa more, I want to open up Asia, and I want to open up Germany. Literally, we are now June, right? And so I just got all these things, you know, online programs running for in Germany in the next months. I just got speaking engagements so much for Asia and Africa for the next year. It's like, because my vision board works for me, even if I'm not thinking about it, because it's in the right place and it's made the right way. But make sure, just with these small tips, start practicing it. Make sure your vision board is visible, at least in your bedroom or your office. You know, some people put out on their fridge. I'm saying, well, you know, you're freezing your vision board.
Yes.
I mean, people put it in their closet. The universe doesn't see it, you know. So make sure it's visible and connect with it. Like, I go regularly to my vision board and I read and I look at what I'm saying. And I'm like, hey there, you know, like I put images up from people I want to meet, right? And then by coincidence, I meet them. Right? But I am already in interaction with them. Yeah. just not make them and put them somewhere. That doesn't work.
Wow, that's amazing. That's so helpful to do that. I mean, is it something that you could put above your bed, or is it the wrong thing to?
No, you can do that above your bed. If you're single, right, you can do that above your bed. If you're with two already, then make sure your vision board is above your head and the vision board of your partner is about his or her head, right? So, but yeah, you can definitely always make sure it's somewhere visible, but the best place is in your success direction.
In your success direction. That's amazing. In terms of people's success, I mean, we've had this year has been a very different year to sure no one could have thought or planned that this pandemic was going to happen. How have you seen, because I know you do a lot with the collective consciousness, and I know you have your own women's group, the Global Consciousness Group. Can you talk to me a little bit about that and how you've seen the shift happen and what part meditation takes in that? Because we did mention spirituality was a third of the manifestations. Yes,
correct. So yeah, so and people want to know more about
my and I've women. Just seen it's 11:11. Sorry, that just came into my vision then as I said it.
Wonderful. So yes, so they can connect with the globalconsciouswomen.com if they are interested in that. But for me, it's one of the things I always worked with in my Inner Diamond meditation groups, where I, you know, for 25 years, we worked with thousands of people to change the collective field. Mm. Now, interesting enough, with feng shui, we can read the energy waves that are coming in. So I actually told my students there would be a major disease coming from the East this year. Yeah. So I told people and said, everybody needs to prepare. We're going online, like massively online, and we'll have to retrieve into our families. Now, I, of course, did not know it was going to be the COVID-19, but the tendencies were already there, right? And I told people, I said, there will be like major problems with traveling this year, right? So I told my students that in December.
And how did you get that feeling? Was that an intuitive feeling or feeling that...
It's actually knowing and learning how feng shui works on the collective fields. Yeah. So there are, you know, the shamans, the feng shui masters have written the energy tendency for 10,000 years far. They have calculated that. It's really interesting, but it's so accurate. Yeah. It's one of the most accurate things that I've ever seen. I don't call it predictions, but it's like they have seen how energy flows. Yes. Like, and so I said, you know, this year, everybody will start looking at anything that is injustice, you know, everything that is not injustice, not in brother and sisterhood, it just will show up big for everyone, right? So, hey, that's what we're going through. So there are some tendencies that you can read. So as a master, I always tell people this is what's going on. And, you know, people follow that for the last 15 years and it's very accurate. But still we as a human race have a way to deal with these tendencies. Like you have to think about if there's like a big wave coming in from the ocean, right? Yes. But you're a good surfer. You can master the wave.
Ride the waves, yes.
Right? So if there is big storm coming in and you have a good umbrella, you'll get through the storm, right? So this is how meditation, how working with your consciousness can help you to still thrive, and having the right mindset can make you still going through this big wave that we call now COVID-19, you know, is a big health illness wave, right? It's an illness wave that comes to us. How do we deal with that, right? So the people that have gone into becoming more aware of their thoughts and their feelings and their actions in the last 10, 20 years, just the people that have studied self-development, self-help, I think they have a better tool set.
Yeah.
To ride this wave. They have the surfboard. Yeah. They have a good umbrella, right? But so many don't. right? And so that is when then this experience happens that they have to go within, they are locked in, that they start have to ask themselves questions, right? So in a way, the COVID-19, I call it the COVID-19 big awakening.
Yes, yeah.
Right? This is the most transformational times. I call this the real Aquarius time that is starting, right? So it's an Aquarius age that is happening right now. And we thought it was 2012, but I always say to my students, it will be 2020. You know, there's a little bit delay on it. So in 2020, the world will shift. And the ones that have found the light, the ones that have found consciousness, have started thinking about themselves, they will get through it easier. Right? The wave is coming. We cannot change that. Right? The tsunami is coming. But are you already on higher grounds in yourself? Or are you at the moments that the tsunami comes, the wave comes, still have to think, oh, what do I do with my life?
And if you are in that position, because it's been challenging times for a lot of people, yes. Especially in the lockdown, is there any advice that you would give if people are really struggling or challenged or feeling that maybe they thought they had their purpose and then they're suddenly thinking, wow, do I really have a purpose?
Yes.
Is there anything that...
Well, I would say try, first of all, to do some meditation, right, every day. Even if they go to the free app, I have a 5-minute tubes of light meditation that millions of people are using every day. It's a very small meditation, but it really grounds you and it aligns you. Very simple. The second thing is, you know, have a journal, you know, write down gratitude journal or any thoughts are coming in. Because when you're in a lockdown, you know, there's like so much pressure, right? And you need to really take time for silence. Right now, what we're doing, I mean, I'm already away from the lockdown. We're already unlocked in France. But, you know, a lot of people did not take time to listen within.
Yes.
Yeah. So to like say, don't go too much on the social media. Don't go all the time onto the media, on television. Don't binge watch all the time. You know, read a book that is inspiring. You know, journal more, be creative, perhaps, you know, declutter your home, right? It's a time for listening because the last years, a lot of people did not listen anymore. Yeah. Because they're so busy. There's so much noise outside.
Yes.
Right. And so perhaps you thought you had a purpose, but was that the real purpose? We don't know. So listen, you take time to be quiet. You know, just really sitting there, you know, if you can do a little walk a little bit, get in your garden. I mean, I was super busy during the lockdown because I had so much interviews because people were asking so much for me. But I took time for myself too. Mm. Yeah. Because I was like, okay, what are the next things? How can I help more people? And so I would do that, perhaps start doing a little bit of feng shui, you know, to make your home a little bit more a sacred space. And I mean, literally there's a free report can already set you up to a lot of things. So, you know, even if you don't have the budget for it, there is a lot. You can go to my YouTube channel. I have a lot of information on my YouTube channel with amazing tips to start setting up your home.
And we'll put all of those in the show notes below this as well, so people
and, can find, you know, even on the Instagram, you know, Mary Diamond 8, literally they have every week tips to get going, right, to get to the next level. So there's so much wonderful things that can happen, but you need to take time for it and learn to be less addicted to the noise.
Yes.
You know, noise that is out there. And a lot of people are not getting so well through the lockdown because the noise from outside, they brought it inside by just keeping the television on all the time and being totally addicted to their social media. You need to really take time for you.
What happens in those instances where you're going inside yourself, maybe you're doing some meditation, and you think your intuition is talking, and how do you know to trust that intuition? I know in my past, sometimes I feel like my intuition has let me down, or maybe I wasn't seeing the red flags and I was thinking, oh, this is it. And then something happened and it wasn't. And I was like, well, but it felt so right at the time.
Yeah, and perhaps it was right at that time, you know, perhaps it was right at that moment, but perhaps not another moment. So what I always do myself when I get an insight, right, I always say, okay, universe, confirm that to me, right? So when I get an idea, I kind of let it be for a while, right? And then I'm like, okay, universe, if it's really what I need to do, confirm. Right. And then when people come to me like and they're telling something, I'm like, oh, my God, that's a confirmation. Or I, you know, open a television and I'm like, oh, it's a program around that. Or I get like a message from someone telling, oh, you have to read this book. I'm like, oh, my God, that's exactly. So, you know, if you're not 100% sure, I mean, I am quite sure most of the time because I really learned to know that voice. Right. But sometimes it's still like, oh, super crazy, you know, do I need to work that direction, right? So like, okay, I'll see what comes, right? So like I put on my vision board, like I need to open up Africa. And so suddenly, you know, I have all these requests to work with Africa, right? For speaking and podcasts and helping out the African continent. I'm like, oh, okay, it's good, right? So it's coming, right?
Yeah.
So when you have an idea, I would say first of all, always, wow, I have a great idea. Just already acknowledge that that idea is there and that came to you, right? And then sit with it for a while, just like cherish it. Because a lot of people right away, they are sharing their ideas like, you know, oh, you know what idea I had, I know what idea I had. But sometimes they are then contaminating that idea a little bit with negative thoughts of others. I was like, yeah, you're so crazy. Right? Oh, wow, that's nothing. So then you actually are already creating a bad energy around that idea. So I always say to people, at least when there's an idea, say, wow, wait like 24 hours to 72 hours to even share this with someone. Be with it.
Yes.
Yeah, allow it to even come as the universe, give me some sign. I'm not 100% sure. The universe will always come back and give you a sign. Yeah. And then move forward with it.
Wow. And that's so true. I've had a lot of signs recently. Marie, I can't believe that we're coming towards the end of the interview. I mean, this has been so insightful and there's been a lot of great advice and tips that you've given. And I will put all of this in the show notes. You've told people where they can find out about you. You've got your website, so I'll put that down. I have my last question that I ask all my guests. Yeah. And that is, if you were to write a message in a bottle for future generations to find, what would that message be?
Well, I think one of the things I feel that most people don't hear enough is the word, I love you. I just would write in the word, I love you.
Oh, that's beautiful. Marie, thank you so much. This has been such an amazing interview. I've loved it. I've loved having you a guest on my show.
Thank you for having me.